I'm Evan Murray, or Russell the Leaf.
I guess I want to start with a lyric I found looking through your discography yesterday. I think the first record you put out is called Russell the Leaf.
Oh, wow.
On the second song, it starts, any time, any format, any rhyme should be fine as long as it's clear, as long as it's near to the truth. And that seemed remarkable to me because it seems still pretty much to have a lot to do with your songwriting, even on the more recent releases.
That's a really old song. Wow, that's cool that you went back and checked that out. That stuff is, musically, is not something I look back fondly on really that much, just because it's so old. But like, you just saying those words, it's like, oh, that's kind of nice. Like, I kind of like that. But it does reflect like how I work, where, I mean, I found lately the pattern is I'll find myself in a big rut, or I'm ignoring a big change in my life, or I'm ignoring something I'm not taking care of, and I end up writing everything, which is a very destructive pattern, because then I only write it when I am like not at 100%. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to counteract that and try to express creatively every single day. But I don't know. I don't really have a process. It's different every time, and it just, you know, I identify with Brian Wilson's ethics on songwriting, where he truly believes that it's something else coming to you. And, you know how to shape things, you know your theory, you know what you want to happen next. But that initial thing, I think everyone can relate to, is you can't explain it. Everyone has that thing where it's like, oh, that happened. And then I worked really, really hard on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, jazz musicians. I, am very based in jazz. I grew up playing mostly jazz on upright bass. And I think that moment of inspiration, that spark in jazz music, is just something that's allowed to be elongated to this transcendental moment where you don't know whether you're inside or outside of the pocket, or you're inside of what someone else is playing, but it's just happening. But for pop songwriting or country or whatever you want to do, we've kind of been delegated or relegated to like this, you get that initial spark and then you're expected to iron it out, work on it really hard. So going forward, I'm going to try and blend those two a little bit and try and be more spontaneous, but that just means getting a band, and that means paying people. I don't have money, so there you go.
Right. So we've gotten a little bit about your background and your influences, Brian Wilson, some jazz. I think one of the things about your music that is most unique immediately upon hearing it is your singing voice. And I wonder if it took a while for you to find your voice, or is it so unmistakably like Russell the Leaf when you sing,
Yeah. I was actually last night just listening to some older stuff for fun, and it took a while to sing well, I think. It's either like you can hear how stuffy my nose is because I was smoking a lot of weed, or you can hear me struggle to sing because I was smoking a lot of cigarettes, or you can hear me struggle to play the guitar because I was overtired, but you just want to record. So finding my voice really came through just really trying to practice patience, I guess, because I would get the whole track done, then I'd be, okay, time to do the vocal, and I would do it. I basically do, like, when I'm in those weird zones when I'm recording a record, it just happens. Like, I record it in a week, everything, top to bottom. So the vocals reflect that most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it came from, the Beach Boys are my favorite band ever. Upon, like, your first go around on all their recordings, it's kind of a you tend to think that, they're very calculated. Everyone talks about how hard he worked, how repetitive the takes were. But that, I think that influences people's view of the vocals. But the vocals are the most emotional, spontaneous, and they're sobbing into the microphones. They're just letting it all out.
I want to return to to your recording, because it is true that you don't play a lot of shows, but you've put out like a remarkable amount of music in the past few years. And I wonder what it is about, and also I should say on almost all of your records that I know about, you play almost all of the instruments and do almost everything yourself. So I'm curious about, you have a big musical community. Why do you work that way?
I don't know. I don't know why. I think it just came from, I think there's a whole group of people, a whole generation of people around the world who are doing it exactly like me, where they started out with they went on They went to a garage sale and got a, what I found was a iMac G5 with the big bass thing, mm-hmm. and there's GarageBand. And so I, you know, that's like for a young musician who lives in Scotia, New York, you know, it's like, that's insane. You have a band at your fingertips, you know. And so I guess I'm just, I'm really drawn to see what I can do alone for some reason, because each time it gets better. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like, why not screw up the formula almost? I've been doing it this way for a while. And it's also free. I don't have to pay anyone. I can just buy, if I want to, you know, make a different sounding album, I can buy different things on my own terms. And I'm, you know, I come from a jazz background, which is very reliant on, like, you get paid. Everyone makes money and they work for their money. And I really respect that model. So I'm not trying to have, while this is a totally proper and fine model to have a band of friends and you all agree to, you know, quote unquote struggle or like work really hard for not a lot of financial payoff. I really want to work as hard as I can by myself and then be more patient to find the times when I can like be able to pay my friends. Like we do like a tour a year, if that, or every 2 years. And you know, to be fair, at the end of every one, you know, we had a 6-piece band last time. Everyone got $90 at the end of 4 shows. You know, that's not bad at all. Mm-hmm. It's better. I would much rather that than we're playing shows around here every couple of weekends and I don't get to give that back to the musicians. That's just that's totally me. That's not a reflection of the scene or anything larger than just what I want to do for my friends who are playing in the band.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a good segue into talking about your friends a little bit and also just like the larger community and your relationship to this place. You and I had a brief conversation a couple days ago about why you love the Capital Region and why you think it's such a promising place for music. I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I just think it's a lot of energy, I think. I think that's the biggest thing. Rather than some places have, you know, infrastructure for days for people to, you know, use their resources to make art or music, whatever you want to do. But I think there's a lack of energy when everyone goes to one place and sucking the energy out of the infrastructure, and then all you have is infrastructure. And so I think around here, there is a plethora of just people ready to, like, go. I mean, this station is like I just learned about this place, but this is a perfect example. You're pumping out this music that not a lot of people pay attention to anymore. And that's like pure energy. And you're finding your people. I think that's a big part about why I came back. It's because I found my people already. And I really just want to, like, people like the Let's Be Leonard guys and all the jazz musicians in Saratoga and Albany and Schenectady and, you know, my brother, just everyone around me in the scene. I just think there's so much energy. I don't know how else to put it. And it's not really like a heady sort of energy. I just like feel it when you're at a show, like, wow, everyone wants to do this really bad. Like everyone is really proud of being in this place right now, no matter how stressful it is or how hard it is on who's hosting the show. Like, this is a really proud moment. But I love the people around here. I thought like, oh, cool, I'm back. And within the first month, I was like, well, there's so much music going on that I have no idea about. So I'm excited to try and expand my horizons.
One last question. I want to briefly mention that you put out a little EP recently, which is notable because it has a local title, which also is the name of my hometown, Greenfield Center. Mm-hmm. And also notable in that I perceived like a pretty huge shift in tone from some of your previous releases, both lyrically and also in the arrangements. It's mostly a lot of your voice and a piano and maybe a guitar and a lot of sort of slower, more introspective kind of stuff. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the process of making that record and or just anything that you have to say about it.
I had been listening to this artist, Yeast Jarvis. He's a Canadian musician. He's definitely one of the most important people making music right now. He has a new album out called The Same But By Different Means. I was just listening to his whole vibe for a really long time. And I just, you know, unabashedly, I just got really inspired by what he was doing and tried my hand at something similar. I love arranging. And so I do work within that context a lot of the time, where I'm like, you know what? I've been listening to Tusk a lot. I want to do a Fleetwood Mac song. And then I'll bust out the arrangement because I know the feeling it gives me, and I know how that drummer plays. And so it's the same thing with Greenfield Center. I just recorded that, and that was another. I did that in 2 days in Greenfield Center at my aunt's house on my grandma's piano. I just made them up on the spot at the piano. I was also really starting to get really fed up with like playing the game, like putting out the tape or putting out the CD, and then you do the thing and you play the show to release it. And I really just wanted to make something I thought was really cool and then just put it out.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, I think that's that on that.
Well, thanks for stopping by today.
Yeah, thank you. This one's called How Long Does It Usually Take to Care?
I wanna go a little bit longer without the friend I need. I wanna prove it to myself that I can do it indeed. I wanna know how long it takes for me to get upstairs. How long does it usually take to care? Wanna take it a little bit easier, even though I won't. I'm starting to move things softly, learn that push means don't. No more scratching up the hardwood to move a chair. How long does it usually take to